Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Monday edition of the show. Hope you had a terrific Thunder over Louisville weekend. It was a great time and great weather. A little chilly on Saturday evening, especially after the sun went down. But fun festivities, and the Kentucky Derby Festival is well underway. We'll see. Maybe we'll catch a couple of the events, but always fun to have that going on in the periphery here in Southern Indiana, Kentucky. It's a fun time of year, a great celebration for Louisville, and obviously the Derby's a lot of fun. So fun to be in that season, but unfortunately, you know, when we've reached Derby season, it means that we just completed a great run on college basketball and March Madness and the NCAA tournament. So we're stretching for things right now. The NBA playoffs, watched the Pacers get their doors blown off last night, and Kentucky Derby season is here, and it'll just have to make do as we talk about the transfer portal. That's one thing, the transfer portal. Weekends, weekdays, mornings, afternoons, evenings, it produces news constantly around college basketball, and Indiana has been one of the front runners in the transfer portal so far this offseason. A lot of momentum for the Hoosiers, a lot of names out there that Indiana is still involved in, and another big commitment over the weekend for Mike Woodson and this program with Cannon Carlisle from Stanford committing to Indiana. No surprise, a lot of people, the recruiting experts, had him crystal ball to Indiana for the last week or so. He was in Bloomington, I believe, Friday into Saturday, and made his commitment shortly after his visit concluded. So Indiana officially, according to at least two of the people that track this stuff, the recruiting services out there, Indiana with the number one portal recruiting class here in the offseason. And so that is remarkable for Indiana to land some of these guys. Kudos to the coaching staff. But I think all of us know it's NIL money and opportunities that right now Indiana seems to be one of the leaders in college basketball in. There has been a real influx of money, according to people around it, involved in it, that has entered the NIL streams that feed Indiana this offseason, and Mike Woodson and his staff are taking that and running with it and have been able to land some of the biggest fish from the portal so far. It's almost getting to the point where, given who's coming back, because Indiana did get a good returning group of players that I think you would want back, led by Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, really Kal-El Ware, the only big loss, and that's because he's headed to the NBA. But with who's back and who Indiana has added, including those that they have added that will likely be starters. And then don't forget about Bryson Tucker, an incoming freshman from traditional recruiting channels. At this point, I'm not sure how many minutes they have to offer someone else that might be considering Indiana in the portal. So there's still spots to fill. I definitely think Indiana fills more spots, no question about that. They need to do so. But I'm not sure it's going to continue along the path of these upper echelon, nationally coveted prospects in the transfer portal, but we'll see. And there was just a little bit of breaking news before we came on the air today that I'm going to cover in just a second about a player that I think makes tons of sense for Indiana and might fit the bill perfectly for one of these remaining scholarship opportunities or spots, I should say. And so we'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Let's look at the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one in just a moment, our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at this new availability, if I can get it out here today, in the transfer portal. And we'll tell you more about Cannon Carlisle, We'll look at some of the other names Indiana is tracking. They had some other visitors over the weekend as well. And there's some guys that were considering Indiana that have chosen other places. So we'll just kind of do a portal update relative to IU here in this opening segment. Later in the show, it's Monday, so Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. We'll catch up on the portal and some of the new additions and off-season happenings with Zach when he's with us a little bit later in the show. And then later on in segment number three, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA Executive Board member, will be with us as we talk local sports. We've got spring sports rolling. We've got summer basketball just around the corner. The travel scene, the grassroots basketball scene is heating up as coaches have a recruiting opportunity coming up very soon with that. We've got the Nike EYBL and some of the other shoe circuits to pay attention to. So no shortage of sports from an amateur and local perspective, and we'll cover some of that today with Chad when he's with us later in the hour. That's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out for lunch today. They've got sandwiches and salads, also soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. We always love to hear from you. How excited are you about some of these incoming players from the transfer portal and IU being considered to have the number one portal class right now? 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. You can sign up for the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards program and receive 25 cents off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers you just can't pass up. Download the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app today. You can look for it in the App Store or on Google Play and get participating in Thornton's Refreshing Rewards today. Let's get into the, and don't forget to send us a text, 502-414-1450. Let's get into some of the headlines. First, let's talk about the latest addition to the transfer portal, or one of the latest additions, I should say. Luke Goody, he is an Indiana guy, played at Homestead High School in Indiana. He entered the portal in the 10 a.m. hour today. And I believe that Indiana will be one of the schools considered in a great way by Goody. It just makes sense. He's from Fort Wayne, played in all 38 games that Illinois had last season. He was seventh on the team in scoring at 5.7 points per game. Also seventh on the Illini last season in rebounding at 3.6 rebounds per game. He was first on the team in three-point percentage. He shot almost 39% from three-point range last season, and he was second on the team in three-pointers made. He had 61 last season. For those reasons I just listed, a solid role player, someone that could start, someone that could come off the bench, someone that can average 5 to 7 points a game, 3-4 rebounds a game, and be a dead-eye three, or let's at least describe him as a really good three-point shooter. That fits the bill exactly for what Indiana needs. They need some role-type players, number one, with all the talent that they've been able to bring in. And, of course, that need is still there for shooters, three-point shooting specifically, and Luke Goody would fit that bill. So don't have any real connection to it, but would be shocked if Indiana doesn't make a big push, a big play for Luke Goody with some NIL money to find him in a supporting role and a key role. I'm not just saying a guy that you want in the program because he's a good player and a good shooter and will be good for practice purposes. This guy right here would fill a specific role, I think, that would very much help Indiana. And, you know, Mike Woodson, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. Mike Woodson really does like to play a lot of guys. He's an NBA guy. Whether you love it and you think it's great for the program and great for recruiting from the portal and high school players, his NBA connections and all that experience he has, or whether you hate it and you don't like all the subs and the rotations and some of the different things that he does offensively that maybe a traditional college coach doesn't do, Mike Woodson is who he is. He's an NBA guy that spent many, many years in the league, first as a player, more recently as a coach, head coach, and assistant coach as well. So guys are going to play. I mean, he's not just going to play five or six, even seven guys. He has shown us that in his time at Indiana so far. And Luke Goody seems like an ideal portal candidate at this time. I'm not sure he would have been other than his three-point ability a month ago, but he definitely is now, now that we know Indiana has some of these key players and some of this big-time talent coming into the program next season. One new name officially in the fold, Cannon Carlisle from Stanford. He's from Atlanta, Georgia, played his high school basketball the last season at the Overtime Elite program, which is kind of a preparatory program for players that have aspirations to play in the NBA. He averaged 11.5 points, 2.7 rebounds, and 2.7 assists in 25.6 minutes per game last season as a freshman for the Cardinals. He was named honorable mention, all Pac-12 to the freshman team last season, and he was named the Associated Press National Player of the Week on January 2nd. So he is originally from Milton High School down in the Atlanta area, which has produced a lot of talent. He chose Stanford over Auburn and Baylor out of high school. And so 6'3", 185 pounds, shot 38.6% from the field, 32% from threes, and 77.6% from the free throw line. Cannon Carlisle, another monster addition to the Indiana roster and very likely the Indiana starting lineup for next season. He has three seasons of eligibility left, by the way, as he enters the Bloomington program. So no real surprise. It's not like everybody's rah-rah cheering right now. We think if you follow this stuff closely at all, we've been talking for the last week or so that Carlisle was very likely going to be an addition to Indiana's roster after his official visit, and that's exactly how things played out over the weekend. So Mike Woodson, he's cooking right now. He's reeling them in. He's bringing in some really big names from the portal, and Indiana is taking notice, or people are taking notice of Indiana, I should say, across college basketball for next season. We'll see how all this plays out. This is a very, very important. Every offseason is important, especially in the transfer portal NIL era, because you got to get these guys together and get them on the same page. These are so many new faces coming in that never played together, not familiar with each other at all. So it's a very, very important offseason for Indiana, but a very, very important offseason for all college basketball programs in this new age that we're in. A couple other names I want to mention here related to the transfer portal. Zach Anderson from Florida Gulf Coast. He was visiting Indiana as well over the weekend. He shared a photo of himself at Memorial Stadium from Sunday afternoon. He's 6'7". He's from Florida. He averaged 12.8 points, 5.1 rebounds, and 1.9 assists last season for Florida Gulf Coast. Remember, Florida Gulf Coast played at Indiana in Assembly Hall, and Anderson had 19 points and 5 3-pointers in his game at Indiana last season. And it was a scary movie for Indiana. The Hoosiers just barely able to hang on and get the win. It was 69-63, the final score, back on November 7th of 2023. Fast forward to April 22nd, and Anderson considering being a Hoosier. It'll be interesting. He's on the cuff of players that probably would like to be in Indiana, but can they promise him enough importance in the lineup, in the roster, enough minutes as all this breaks out? Again, Mike Woodson, I'm sure his defense of that would be, hey, I play a lot of guys, we rotate in and out. But we'll see if Anderson chooses Indiana or where potentially he could go next season. I'm not sure the other schools that are looking at Anderson, but obviously he has a number of additional schools that he is visiting and in communication with as well. A couple other names from the portal: Connor Esigen, another in-state guy from Central Noble. He visited Indiana last week, but ultimately announced Sunday that he is going to commit to Nebraska, so he'll stay in the Big Ten Conference, leaving Wisconsin after a couple seasons, going to Nebraska instead of Indiana. Probably a good move for him. Also, Ryan Conwell, another in-state player that was at Indiana State, had a terrific season there. He was highly coveted out of the transfer portal. he announced over the weekend his commitment to Xavier. So he is the guy that Indiana had some conversation with, reportedly, but is going to go elsewhere, which it all works out. It all shakes out in time. Also, Caleb Banks from Indiana's roster last season, he announced over the weekend that he is going to go to Tulane, where he will play for Coach Ron Hunter, who, of course, spent a lot of years in Indiana as the head coach of IUPUI. And Coach Hunter, I track his teams from a distance. They were 14-17 last season, so he needs a good year. And we'll see if Caleb Banks can break through for the Tulane Green Wave next season in college basketball. A couple other college hoops notes. I've been meaning to mention this, but Duke under Coach John Shire, former player, former Mike Coach Case assistant. I did not realize this until I saw it last week. Duke has had seven players from their roster last season enter the transfer portal. Seven players into the portal. I think probably the biggest name entering the portal is Jeremy Roach, and I think I saw where Baylor could be his future home. But seven players entering the portal. Two players on top of that going to the NBA draft. Kyle Filipowski, who Indiana tried and recruited very hard. Also, Jared McCain as well have declared for the draft. And I think that both of those guys are expected to be lottery picks and not to return to Duke for next season. So seven defections from the Blue Devils. That is another sign of changing times in college basketball. But don't fret for Coach Shire or Duke. I saw they also have the number one overall recruiting class, you know, traditional recruiting class, overall recruiting class coming to their campus this fall. So Duke should be okay, but that is an eye-raising number of players hitting the transfer portal so far this offseason. And I got to bring this up for the first time here in the offseason. The CBS Sports Way Too Early Top 25 and 1 rankings that Gary Parrish, who's a great radio host and a great college basketball writer, he does it basically on, a daily basis, definitely a couple times a week. He's got Indiana number 20, up four spots. They were number 24 in the last top 25 and 1. And here's the little blurb with Indiana at number 20 from Gary Parrish. He says, quote, "This ranking is based on Mike Woodson's Hoosiers returning three of their top four scorers, specifically Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, and Trey Galloway, from a team that finished tied for six in the Big Ten. The additions of Miles Rice, Omar Ballo, and Cannon Carlisle from the transfer portal means Indiana is adding three experienced starters from the Pac-12." So that's the little capsule that goes with Indiana. Number 20, if you care about that stuff, which it's way early to think or care about it, but it is interesting, and you know with Indiana making some splashes that they are going to be a team that does get a little buzz here in the offseason, and that's a good thing. It's good for the fans. It's good for the program. It's probably good for recruiting. We'll see. Expectations from where things ended after Indiana had their doors blown off by Nebraska have definitely changed for next season. Mike Woodson was already going to be under a microscope heading into the year. Now with all this new talent, he's got to win. He's got to win probably at a pretty good clip to come close to satisfying everybody that he needs to satisfy at this point. Thornton's text line, got a couple messages here to share along. That number 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 if you want to join the conversation. Texter says a good shooter would be a nice addition with what they have added. They should be a different team. Agree with that. And again, Luke Goody, I think, could be that guy if Indiana can really mend. I got to believe they'll make a big effort at him. Also, Texter Kevin on the Thornton's text line says, I think Luke Goody's dad played football at Indiana. We'll have to look that up. But, Kevin, if anybody knows that offhand, it would be you and all the years you've supported and aided the IU football program, that's for sure. 502-414-1450 is the number. Love to hear from you. Questions, comments, you can sound off. We've got Zach Osterman and Chad Gilbert still ahead on this Monday edition of the show. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday edition of the show. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 if you want to ask a question, you want to sound off, whatever it may be, you can send us a text now. Texter on the Thornton's text line says, I just tuned in, so if you already covered this, no problem. But Tucker Bivin of New Albany picked up a win and a save over the weekend as the University of Louisville's baseball team won at Miami on Saturday night. I had not mentioned that yet, Texter, but I do appreciate that. At the Thunder over Louisville gathering I was at, as the fireworks were going off over the river, we had Tucker Bivin pitching on television. He came in a tight spot and once again got it done. And I've got to believe he's one of the hottest pitchers right now in college baseball. No question for Louisville in the ACC conference, but he has just come on over the last 3 or 4 weeks and is getting opportunities on a regular basis for Louisville, getting inserted in really big spots for the Cardinals, and he has made the very most of it. So nice to see him performing on a big stage and having a lot of success in his sophomore year for Louisville baseball. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us Mondays. We talk IU football, basketball, and more. And Zach, right now for Indiana, it's all about the transfer portal and Mike Woodson and his coaching staff, thanks to what we believe is an unbelievable amount of NIL opportunities and money to share with some of these portal prospects. The Hoosiers are cleaning up. There's no other way to say it. They have landed some of the biggest fish in the college basketball transfer portal to date.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, it's been a obviously a busy few weeks. I think we expected it to be. We knew Indiana was going to have, you know, these. We knew Indiana was going to have these spots to fill, and I think we had a pretty good idea, frankly, that Indiana was going to be emphasizing the portal as its sort of primary method of filling them, if you want to say, and. With, I guess, Carlisle in particular, and I guess this also probably applies to Rice, you know, these are guys that Indiana really targeted from very early on in the process. In terms of, you know, if I think back to kind of the, you know, the list of names that I was collating, you know, and trying to just kind of pull together, like, I guess maybe right around a month ago, you know, these were the guys that as they were going into the portal, it seemed like Indiana was going to be most involved with. I think Ballo was probably a little bit more, you know, kind of, hey, this opportunity's out here. Let's go see if he's interested. And then, you know, obviously you kind of get down the road in those sorts of situations. But, you know, with Rice and Carlisle in particular, I think it's fair to say that Indiana just, you know, put a lot of time and effort into getting these guys, you know, on campus and, you know, giving Indiana itself the opportunity to kind of sell its, you know, sell its, basically its vision for what Mike Woodson's rebuilt roster is going to look like. And now I don't think Indiana's done, but I think you've got a lot of key pieces in place to begin sort of affecting that. And I think you could be a little bit more targeted now with, you know, what you're trying to do in terms of filling out these last two or three roster spots.
Zach, I touched on this earlier and would love to hear your thoughts on this, but with all these big fish that Indiana has landed, I mean, some of the highest rated portal players, Indiana, according to most right now, has the number one portal class. As they talk to others, bring others in, look to fill still a handful of remaining scholarship spots for next season, should fans maybe temper their expectations that the Indiana's not going to get any more big fish and that they're going to get more players that can play a specific role or maybe are shooters, which is something I think everyone understands Indiana needs more of because minutes, aren't minutes going to become an issue with who is back for Indiana? The minutes and roles they played last season for the Hoosiers, plus who is coming into the rotation that very likely will be starters and potentially key players for Indiana?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I don't, you know, that obviously nothing is ever, you know, nothing is ever just absolutely sort of 100% nailed on or whatever you want to say. But I think that that was always kind of the way it felt like this offseason was meant to evolve. If it went well for Indiana, you kind of, you fill your biggest needs first, whether that's, you know, getting guys like Mackenzie Mbako, Malik Renew back, obviously, you know, guys like Trey Galloway, Anthony Leo, we already knew about. And then once you kind of settled that part of your roster, you really dug into rebuilding it. I think people forget Indiana actually started with Bryson Tucker, who's the top 20 recruit, it feels like, because the portal has just kind of come to dominate this part of the sort of college basketball calendar. We forget that Indiana added a McDonald's All-American after it lost Liam McNeely in Bryson Tucker, that I think gives Mike Woodson the ability to do some interesting things, potentially from a lineup perspective, depending on kind of where Tucker starts and where he plays and all those different kinds of things. But I think that, you know, it was always kind of like, get the big pieces in place. And then, yes, on the one hand, you know, the field narrows a little bit because guys that are going to want to, you know, have a decent sized role wherever they land next season are going to look at Indiana and say, well, there's probably not room for me there because they returned these guys and they took these guys. And, you know, that's a pretty settled kind of, you know, potential rotation. But on the other hand, you know, you can also be more targeted. You can also be more sort of, you know, selective, I guess is probably the best word. And I think that you're going to probably see that, frankly, you know, from Indiana in terms of, you know, kind of where they go from here and, you know, the, you know, to your point about like shooting, the sorts of roles that we see them start kind of trying to fill from this point forward.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us on this Monday program. Zach, I mentioned Luke Goody from Illinois entering the transfer portal just earlier today, and that he seems like a great fit potentially for Indiana. He's a shooter, a three-point shooter specifically, and he could be a player that played a lesser role, maybe came off the bench for Indiana next season if they choose to get involved with him. A texter on the Thornton's text line said they were pretty confident that Goody's uncle was an IU football player, and somebody else just texted in a tweet from Martha the Mop Lady, at the Mop Lady on Twitter, who's been a longtime IU basketball supporter account. And according to Martha the Mop Lady, whoever plays that role on Twitter, Luke Goody's uncle is an IU football legend, Trent Green. His dad and two uncles all played football at Indiana. His cousin, Matt, played football at Indiana. Luke's brother currently goes to Indiana, and Luke Goody's parents have Indiana basketball season tickets, again, according to this tweet. So if any of that is true or all of that is true, it sounds like Luke Goody might be someone that could be headed to Bloomington next season, Zach.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, it's obviously early, but we know that this stuff can move fast, and I don't know if I can't confirm all that. I do believe it's correct that his father played football in Indiana. I didn't know he's related to Trent Green, but I have no reason to doubt that. I think that, you know, just generally, if Goody is looking to come home and Indiana is an appealing place for him, you know, to your point, I think it makes an awful lot of sense. You know, there is a clear cut role for him in Indiana. I'd actually be a little bit curious about how much time he's got left. This would technically be his senior year, but he only played 10 games 2 years ago. And if you think about it, I mean, 2 years ago, Xavier Johnson played 11 games, and it wound up, you know, it transpired that he still had an extra year. So I wonder if Indiana would wonder whether or not they could get an extra year, or anybody, not just Indiana, but I wonder if Indiana would, you know, wonder if it could get an extra year out of Luke Goody in terms of his eligibility and things like that. But one way or the other, I think, you know, if you're IU, you know, if he's interested, he ticks a lot of boxes. He's never shot under 37% from three in a single season. You know, he is largely a catch and shoot 3-point, you know, sort of specialist. I mean, he's only attempted 46 twos and 31 free throws across the course of what, 76 career games in college. You know, I mean, by comparison, he's attempted 219 threes. So he's essentially attempted almost three times as many three-pointers as he has two-pointers plus free throws. On the other hand, you know, he's actually been a pretty effective rebounder for a kind of a 6'7" guard forward type player. He had a 13.1% defensive rebound percentage last season in Illinois, his freshman year, 14.5%. So he's not a terrible rebounder either. You know, you're not recruiting Robert Horry or anything, but he's a guy that doesn't hurt you in terms of turnovers. He's a guy that makes good decisions. I think he's a guy that quietly does help you in some, you know, some other areas, like I said, in rebounding. And, you know, if you want to play him at like the two, he's kind of a bigger guard, which, you know, sometimes even if maybe a guy is not necessarily going to bring a whole lot of offensive versatility, then just having more size on the floor makes, makes a difference. And yeah, I mean, he's a proven 3-point shooter up to and including, you know, I guess the one thing you would have looked at with his profile is he never really shot threes at volume in college. He was 16 to 43 his freshman year. Again, his sophomore year, he was injured, so he was only 8 of 19. You know, he played in 10 games. Last year, he appeared in 38 games for Illinois, you know, all 20 conference games. Obviously, he was a key piece of their rotation in the NCAA tournament. He played 15 minutes against Nebraska, 16 against Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. And then in the NCAA tournament, 21, 16, 24, 25. And, you know, you look at his shooting numbers, 38.9% from behind the arc last season, 37.3% in Big Ten play, 38.2% against what Ken Pom calls tier A plus B competition, 42.9% against tier A competition only. The point is, it's not like he fell off when he played against good teams. It's not like he struggled, you know, as the season went on, or, you know, there's a huge deviation in his shooting numbers in conference play. He's a really good shooter. And if you're Indiana, you know, one of the things you need to add now, you really emphasize with these guards, Miles Rice, you know, Kaden Carlisle, even to some extent, you know, Trey Galloway coming back, the idea of more guys that can run your pick and roll offense and more guys that can get shots either for themselves or for others. Now you got to get the guys that are going to be on the receiving end of those shots, and Goody would be obviously a very appealing, you know, sort of target in that respect.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, he's with us Monday. Zach, we've got about 30 seconds before our commercial break, so question for you on IU football. Any quick thought on the spring game from Thursday night, or key takeaway, something maybe fans should be hopeful or excited about this football offseason?
You know, I mean, I think the next big question is just how active Indiana is in the portal. It's clear they need some help on defense, or that they feel they need some help on defense. I think particularly that defensive line, and, you know, how much they can sort of reinforce that, plus how healthy, frankly, they can stay on that side of the ball. That's probably, of the two units, the one where Indiana can afford fewer injuries, you know, kind of through the offseason and moving into fall camp. On the other hand, you know, I think the depth of this offense looks real. You know, when you see all the wide receiver, you know, options that Indiana's going to have, you see, you know, multiple running backs making plays in the spring game. I thought Kurt Cignetti's positive sort of reviews of the offense were offensive line were justified by the snippets that we saw, even against a weakened defense in that spring game. And then Taven Jackson throwing the ball well, I think, if nothing else, just gives you, you know, even if Curtis Rourke winds up beating Jackson out, it gives you a sense that, hey, you got two quarterbacks here that are more comfortable maybe than they were, you know, than Indiana had anybody a year ago because of age and experience. And you maybe have a little bit more of that, you know, sort of that depth, I guess, that ultimately, for better or worse, you know, Indiana has needed multiple quarterbacks basically every season for a very long time now. And so I think there's a lot to be optimistic about on offense. It's just a matter of kind of how you turn it on the other side.
All right, good stuff. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us on this Monday show. Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. To a quick break we go. Chad Gilbert, athletic director at Charlestown High School and IHSAA executive board member, is with us in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday show. Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Chad Gilbert joins us Mondays. We put the focus on local sports. Chad is the AD at Charlestown High School. He's also a member of the IHSAA Executive Board. And Chad, most days this show, this time of year, is so dominated by the transfer portal and some recruiting, but it's just transfer portal dominant. And I've thought a lot this offseason about how much the recruiting process has changed and how limited that college opportunities in some ways now are for local high school athletes. And I know that we both put a lot of pride in high school sports and basketball here in Southern Indiana, but the transfer portal, especially the sports I feel of basketball and football, it's really changed recruiting for a high school senior or for a high school prospect. And I'm not even talking about just Division I. It's changed things so much that obviously there's a trickle-down effect to even the smaller levels of college football and basketball. It's tough these days, Chad, to be a recruitable athlete in high school with all the changes out there.
Matt, you know, I'm looking for a stat here. All right, as of yesterday, I saw there were 2,742 out of 10,773 Division I, Division II basketball players in the portal. I mean, that's a huge number. I mean, that's a whole recruiting season right there. And the thing that's different that you and I don't know, I mean, recruiting's always recruiting. Now, you know, I'll just use a couple of examples. Now, you know, it used to be recruiting, they'd entice you like, where you'd stay, the uniforms, the amount of gear you lived. You know, we can get your buddy a walk-on spot. We can get your girlfriend a place in the sorority over here, or whatever else it is. You know, so many things that used to be to entice you to come to that school. This is our meal plan. Now, there's no enticing. It's straight cash. And whatever you hear these guys are getting, add more to it. Because the numbers you're hearing are lowball. And, you know, and I'm one of those guys who are always skeptical. Oh, he's not getting $200,000 down there. Oh, yeah, he is. And it's amazing because some of these guys, they don't have the means to offer that. And it really puts these other college coaches in a bind. And let's think about this with the NIL, Matt, before I answer your question. I'm not lost track. But let's say someone gives you $4 million. You're at a school, let's say, South Carolina or whatever else it is. They give you $4 million. You spend that $4 million this year on your recruiting for next year. What happens next year? That guy, is he going to give you $4 million? I don't know. That's a lot of money. What happens when that team needs a new scoreboard, a new video board out on the soccer field? Are they going to be able to hit that person up again and say, hey, we need $1 million for this video board out in the soccer field? Well, I just gave $4 million to the basketball team. How's that trickle down? How's that go with football? How's that go with women's basketball? How's that go with your other sports? I mean, just so many things that this thing has created, which is an absolute mess.
And they will have to do something where they have a cap per conference, and this is what you're allowed to spend, and this is what you're allowed to do. Because if they don't, things will just be so far out of whack. And the pressure that high school coaches, my whole life I thought it'd be college coach would be the job. And anybody who knows anything knows there's more to college coaches than showing up at high school games in a sweatsuit and wearing a suit on the sidelines. I mean, there's guys that are coaching college that sleep with their cell phone on their chest because they're worried about what their guys are going to get into. So it's a demanding job. Right now it's demanding, more demanding now than ever. A high school coaching job is probably a better job than what a college is. Now, you're not making that type of money, but the amount of your pressure you're dealing with is off the charts. Let's go back to the donor again. The donor, you asked that donor for $1 million to get Matt Dennison. Well, after Matt Dennison's there for a year, he's averaging 6 points and 2 rebounds. That donor's questioning your ability to scout players, to bring in players, to recognize talent. So now you're not going to get any money over there, and he's wanting his money back. He's wanting a return in his investment. So as a coach, you have that much more pressure on you. Now, to get to your answer or to get to your question on this, if you don't sign, if you're a high school kid and you don't sign early, it's going to be extremely tough. You just got to sit back and wait and just see how things shake down and try to get yourself on a roster spot. And it's extremely difficult because I know an outstanding player right offhand that is going to be a very good college player. I mean, he's a competitor. He's a tireless worker. He works great with kids. He's someone that will compete every day. He will make your team better. And those are the guys that are getting overlooked right now. Those are the guys that make you win. You got to have the guys to get you there, but you got to have that glue, those glue guys that hold that team together, that do the little things. They're the leaders of the teams that pull guys in with you that make you win. I think those guys are getting overlooked and lost in the shuffle right now, and it's not good for high school kids at all. It's not fair, actually, Matt. I mean, it makes it extremely tough on a high school kid to reach their goals that they're trying to coming up to be a college athlete.
Yep, good stuff. Chad Gilbert with me Mondays here on the show. Chad, Luke Goody, I know we've been in a conversation off air about him. Seems like a great fit to Indiana. So many connections to IU that we're learning about. I know this just broke right before we came on air today, but I would very much struggle to see Indiana and Luke Goody not working something out here. Are you in that camp, even though this is kind of fresh news out here?
100%. I think that's where he will end up. And again, that goes back to what you and I have talked about, Matt. It's good when Indiana guys go to Indiana schools. I think that makes it much more enjoyable for the fans, and I think that kid has that much more pride in attending that university.
No question. Chad Gilbert with me Mondays on the show. Chad, before we exit today, spring sports are rolling. Baseball is really good in this area. Once again, some good softball teams as well. Obviously, track and field and other sports in the spring that dominate a lot of time, a lot of efforts from these athletes and coaches and athletic directors as well. But, Chad, we're coming down the home stretch, not only to sports this school year, but also to the school year as a whole.
Can you believe that, Matt? I'm in year 27, wrapping it up. Year 11 as an athletic director, and these next 4 weeks will fly by because you've got something going on every single night, home or away, and you're trying to get games in, you're trying to get makeup in, which I think is tough on these kids. I think it's really tough because you factor that in with finals, you factor that in with seniors where you got some feelings. This is the last time you're going to be in Charlestown High School. I think a lot of things are wrapped up in this time of year, and I think – that's what education-based athletics does. It allows you to manage your time. It allows you to deal with these situations. It allows you to take pride in playing for that school that you grew up in that community with, Matt. And I think it's something that's very special. I hope, again, all the kids playing, all the parents participating as well, and the coaches, they appreciate this because you blink your eye and it's over with.
Yeah. Also, a basketball college commitment here locally. From Scottsburg, Cody Clancy yesterday announced his commitment to play for Michael Lewis, former IU player, now the head coach at Ball State men's basketball. So great to see a local. We were just talking about the transfer portal and how it's affected recruiting for high school students. Good to see Cody Clancy get an opportunity to play at the mid-major level of D1 basketball.
I'm sure he's excited. I know his parents are. His mom played at Ball State. His dad was a walk-on at Ball State. So You got that lineage a little bit there, that family pride that goes into it, and which nothing but the Clancy's the best on that. That kid's a super player.
Yep. Chad Gilbert with me Mondays. Chad, thank you. We'll catch up next week.
Matt, appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports.
Thank you very much, Chad, always with us Mondays for some local discussion. And, yeah, high school sports and recruiting, it is so different. It has trickled down even to the mid-major, the low-major levels of Division I, and that obviously continues down to D2 and beyond. So, interesting chat with Chad today, no question about it. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday's show. We will be back Tuesday at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. If you missed the live show, all you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you should find us most places. And we appreciate you. Thanks for being with us for IU discussion, for focus on Southern Indiana sports. Love to do this every day and appreciate all the listeners that join us each day for this ride here on the Big X. Have a great Monday, and we'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.